Did you hear that? Funny.
Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Audrey Nowakowski. Theater Red has been presenting shows on Milwaukee stages since 2013. That's relatively young as far as Milwaukee theater companies go, but it's positively a veteran group compared to the brand new group called Untitled Productions. The two organizations are joining up to present a one-woman show on stage this weekend.
I'll Eat You Last stars Theater Red's Marcy Darty Elst as Sue Mangers, show business agent to the stars and host of infamous dinner parties. Darty Elst is also Theater Red's producing director. She joined Lake Effect Bonnie North and explained what led to the creative partnership behind the show.
Theater Red is partnering with Untitled Productions, which is a brand new theater company here in Milwaukee, started by my friend Eric Welch. Him and his friend Brianna Lepore started talking about this idea over a year ago about, wow, there are shows we'd love to see that we don't see around town. They wanted to really bring back some of the old classic musicals that they don't see done anymore, and also some new works. And Eric is an enormous Barbara Streisand fan and a big Bette Midler fan. So we, of course, heard about this play, which, of course, Bette Midler did this play in 2011 at the Booth Theater in New York, playing Sue Mangers, and this play fascinated him. He's always kind of liked it ever since he heard about it. So when he started talking about starting his own company, he thought, okay, well, what can I start with as a brand new theater company and as a first-time director? So he thought, I'm going to do this one-woman show, and I know exactly who I want as this one woman. And it's interesting. I think you learn a lot about what people think of you when they either write a show for you or cast you in a show without an audition. So I was like, wow, is that really what he thinks of me? Am I like Sue Mangers? But he promises
Are
no.
You?
No, I don't think so. I think you know what I have in common with Sue Mangers is her drive and her loyalty. I don't share her vices or her potty mouth. And for people that know her, she was a very polarizing personality. Most people hated her, but the people that knew her and that she was close to loved her. And she was fiercely loyal to her friends. And people always tell me, like, she didn't have friends. I'm like, actually, she did. She had a few very close friends who she loved, and she really fought for her clients. She had a dream, and she had such drive and determination. That's what I like to think I share with her, is that drive and determination.
So for people who don't know who she is, who was she?
Sue Mangers is referred to as Hollywood's first super agent. So she was an agent back in the heyday of Hollywood agenting. So we're talking 60s, 70s, and early 80s. But even by like the late 80s, 90s, really the landscape in Hollywood started to change in movie land. But she was most famous for being Barbara Streisand's agent, but she also represented a ton of other really famous people. In addition to being Barbara's agent, they were dear friends. And they had a falling out in the early 80s, and they didn't speak for a long period of time. Then they kind of came back onto speaking terms, but that friendship was never really as strong as it was. But at the time that this play takes place, in 1981, they're very good friends. So what's happening is you're sitting in Sue Menger's living room the night that she's expecting a telephone call from Barbara Streisand. So, and I'm not giving anything away because Sue Mangers tells you immediately when she sits down that this is what's going on. So she's waiting for a phone call from Barbara because Barbara's lawyers fired her that morning. And Sue says, well, I'm not going to believe that until I hear it from Barbara. And they say, well, she'll call you tonight. So when the play starts or when you join Sue, she's sitting in her living room waiting for this phone call, waiting for this shoe to drop, and filled with a lot of emotions. And she's both ready to fight and ready to cry. This is her best friend in the world and someone who she came up with. So that's kind of what happens. And there's this nervous energy that she has, and you're sitting in her living room. There's no attempt to conceal that, you know, there's no fourth wall. You're sitting in her living room and she's talking to you. So she starts telling you gossip and stories and dishing like she would at her parties. And then through the course of that, you start to see some of the real Sue. You start to hear about her childhood, the things that shaped her, the things that hurt her. And you start to understand more about her drive and more about the person she is. But this is happening in 1981 at a certain point in time.
For you as an actor, what are some of the particular challenges of being the only person on stage?
Gosh, I'm a little bit more than a little terrified, right? And people say, if you weren't, you'd be crazy. I've never done a one-woman show before. I've done my cabaret with Kelly Doherty, which is the two of us, and then, of course, Ryan, who's really, it's more of a trio now the way we've built it up. But I've never done a one-woman show. I've had scenes where I had a monologue or I was the only person on stage, but never by myself. So the biggest challenge, I think, is being able to keep myself on my story trajectory, because if I go up or if I kind of blank, I don't have anybody there helping me. You know, a scene partner that can kind of say something like, remember that dinner party you had with Vanessa Redgrave? And then like, oh, yes. You know,
let me tell you about that. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And she's telling so many stories. Her mind is kind of rambling, and it's not necessarily a linear path. It's very log linear. She's just sitting there talking. So sometimes things have to make a sharp left turn. And, you know, I'm worried that I won't remember all those turns on this winding road. And it's not in a traditional theater space. So it's not like I have a stage manager in the wings. We do have a stage manager, but she's going to be sitting in the back of the ballroom at the Journeyman Hotel. So I don't have someone in the wings that can go, Vanessa Redgrave, like cue me on the story or,
right.
You
need big cue cards.
Right, like a cue, like a sign. Yeah, maybe I should have Allison make a bunch of those. Like, this is the Gene Hackman story. Gene Hackman.
Just have the names, right. It can be part of the action.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. So that's the biggest challenge. And what I've tried to tell myself is the flip side of being nervous about that, the positive is that there's an awful lot of strength and empowerment in the fact that when you're flying the plane, if I lose my train of thought, I'm in control of what happens next, and the audience doesn't need to know that it was a mistake. So I'm trying to empower myself and think positively. The second challenge is that she's a smoker, a chain smoker. She also smokes illegal substances during the show, and I'm not a smoker. I've never been. So learning how to smoke, because I will be smoking an herbal cigarette. The hotel is very much fine with smoke in the room. So we're using an actual set of, we're using real cigarettes. So learning how to smoke, learning how to make it look natural while I'm talking and smoking, learning how to hold it in my hand. And
particularly of that generation, too.
Yes.
Because there was a certain way that people lived with cigarettes.
Yes.
That are very different. Even if people smoke now, it's very different.
Right. And I mean, you think of Bette Davis, right? Like the way she holds the cigarette. So those are big challenges for me. And having a prop in your hand the entire time is also kind of weird for me. The first couple rehearsals, I would go to brush my hair back with the hand that was holding the cigarette. And Eric would say, stop. You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't want to set your hair on fire or ash in your hair. You wouldn't do that with the cigarette in your hand. I'm like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
And so why the choice of the Journeyman? I mean, did you want it to be in a less traditional space on purpose?
Kind of, yeah. When Eric first approached me with the idea and said, I would like you to play Sue Mengers, after I got over my initial terror and started actually thinking about how we would do this, because the play takes place in her living room, and, she's in a Beverly Hills mansion, so it's well-appointed. And you're sitting in her living room, basically, around her couch. I got this idea, it might be kind of fun to stage this in somebody's living room. And as I got thinking more about that, I went, okay, how does that actually work? So I said, what if we staged it in a hotel suite and just sold 15 tickets a night? Whoever could fit in the suite, have them sit in there and have it be very real, very immersive. So Eric liked that idea, and we started thinking about what hotels we might want to do this in. And I said, the Journeyman is sort of new on the scene in the Third Ward. They're in this great area. Their aesthetic is beautiful and modern and hip, but still has some traditional elements. I really like the Journeyman Hotel. So that's how that idea kind of came about. So Eric actually went into the Journeyman one day and said, hey, I'd like to talk to, whoever you have in charge of sales or marketing, or a manager. I have this interesting idea for a theatrical production. The Journeyman folks loved the idea, and they liked it so much, they actually said, well, why would you limit yourself to 15 tickets a night? And we said, well, because that's probably all we could really fit in the suite. They said, we've got all this furniture. We'll just rebuild a suite in our ballroom for you, put it up on a stage, and then you can sell 80 tickets. So it's really kind of a cool setup. There's a bar in the back of the room that will be serving drinks during the entire show. That's actually also important for the plot. So people will be encouraged to get up and get drinks, bring them to their table. So it's really kind of, I think, kind of a neat setup. But that's kind of how that came about. It's one of these weird ideas that Marcy has, like, oh, let's do this here.
We're used to the idea of a house concert with music.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same idea. It's literally in somebody's living room or somebody's back room or something like that. And you fit in whoever you can fit in. And you have that really wonderful, intimate experience.
Yeah.
I'm just so happy that theaters are doing the same sorts of things. It's not that theaters didn't in the past. It just seems like now is a time that people are embracing it, both audiences and theater practitioners,
mm-hmm.
where you kind of expand the definition of what theater is.
Right. I thought it would be really unique. And also there's a practical aspect of that, right? We're a small theater company. Untitled Productions is brand new. This is their first show ever. And so I went, wow, if we're going to try to create or build a set that looks like a well-appointed living room, wow, I wonder if I could just find one of those that I could just use, you know, kind
right.
of thing.
Who's got that budget?
Right.
Yeah.
So that's really kind of how that idea came about. But I think it's going to be really fun. And also, the show very much doesn't try to be a presentational, you're listening to her scene, applause. It really works best if the audience feels like they're kind of sitting in her living room in a casual environment where they're free to interact, where they're free to answer questions if she asks them, where they're free to get up and use the bathroom or go get a drink from the bar. That will actually be part of the show. And there's a couple of moments in the show where Sue needs help from the audience in order to get something done. The very first line of the play, she comes out, she sits down on the couch, she lights a cigarette, and she says, "I'm not getting up." And she doesn't. So when she needs something that's out of her arm's reach, she needs somebody to get it for her. So that will be another interesting challenge for me as an actor, because the plot cannot progress unless I get these items. There's quite a bit of improv that's involved in those scenarios, because you just don't know exactly what will happen.
And who's going to be there.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that should be fun, and that will be new for me as well. Anytime I've improv before, it's been out of necessity, not out of, you know.
Design.
Design.
I think they're essentially the same.
I think so.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Know it's coming in this case rather than when you've had to do it because something fell down.
Exactly.
Or you had to cover for something else. Yeah.
So it should be fun.
It should be. It sounds like it's going to be terrific. Marcy, best of luck with it.
Thank you.
And it's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you so much for having me here. I love seeing you and chatting with you always.
Marcy Doherty Else is the producing director of Theater Red and stars in the one-woman show I'll Eat You Last. She spoke with Bonnie North. The co-production with the group Untitled Productions runs tomorrow through Sunday at the Kempton Journeyman Hotel in the Third Ward. You'll find a link to more information at wuwm.com. I beat my drum.